It is decisions that I don't want to be part making. On one hand, parents saying they are not sending their children back to school, that they are so concerned about their children's safety and the safety of other people in their families, particularly older relatives, people with comorbidities. How do you keep children, you know, from interacting, from touching, from jumping on each other, you know, from hugging each other, holding hands? It's going to be so darn difficult. How do you, when the entire school population is on the school ground, how are you going to ensure, particularly now, you know, less fortunate schools, can ensure that classes are below 40 people, 40 children? It's such a difficult decision. And then at the same time, you have parents like Dwayne, who called in saying that he's at his wit's end because he doesn't know what to do with his kids, because he and his wife are essential workers. They need to still keep working to support themselves, but they work shifts. So they need a place to have to occupy their children during school times. And they don't always want to take them to their parents, their elderly parents. It's so very, very difficult. What would you do? What would you have the basic education minister do? Scrap the school year? I also don't think that is that viable, because remember, there's still more children coming next year, more children entering the school system next year. It's going to compound the situation, but we're getting reaction to the basic education minister's announcement or confirmation that schools will reopen from the 1st of June for grade 7s in primary school and grade 12s in high school. Ntsikelelo Dlulani is the deputy head of Equal Education, a lobby group for better schooling services, particularly in government schools. Ntsikelelo is the deputy head here in the Western Cape. Ntsiki, thanks so much for joining us. Your thoughts on the minister's confirmation that schools will reopen for grade 7s, grade 12s, the 1st of June?
Okay. Thank you for having me. And thank you for allowing Equal Education to also have a point of view on this. I think our concern as a college education remains the issue of readiness of schools. We can't run away from the fact that every college education has been campaigning for the past 10 years for infrastructure in schools in different provinces. And some of the provinces we are actually organized in provinces like Limpopo, KZN, and the Eastern Cape. And we can't run away from the fact that at this point, those schools don't have access to water and the adequate sanitation. And I think that has always been our standard of equal education. And our fear at this point that taking back learners into schools without preparing these infrastructure problems and making sure that learners are safe from school. And also, another thing that we want to talk about is equal education is the issue of vandalizing. We have about 1,500 schools vandalized. And what does this say in learners that are not going to be able to go back to school because of the vandalism that has happened in their schools? What are the measures that the DPE is going to take going forward in making sure that these schools are ready for learners to actually go and carry on with the learning?
In particular, just the minister had said that there is an agreement with the Department of Water, Sanitation, and human settlements, that every school that will be reopened on the 1st of June will at least have access to water. I know that Equal Education has been fighting for at least basic norms and standards at particularly government schools, I think, you know, since 2007. Isn't this then the golden opportunity, you know, turning this crisis, this into an opportunity to reinvent the state schooling system? Or do you think that this department has disappointed you so much over the last few years that you have no faith that the schooling system could use this opportunity to reinvent itself?
the most important thing that we want as a college education is clear plans, because this address did feel like it's a very vague one, and it didn't have clear plans of what is going to happen. Things were named out about vandalism, about the curriculum catch-up, and the infrastructure, but it was never clear of what will be the plan exactly. And to your point that the same DBE has had minimum non-standard for school infrastructure, the policy that makes a school a school, the law that makes a school a school, and it's been hard for them to actually meet their own deadlines. And I think as the college education, what we're saying is we'd really like to see publicly a clear plan of what is going to happen with these schools in making sure that these schools are ready for learners to be inside. When we speak about water, let's not just say vaguely that school will have access to water. What are the plans that will be in place in making sure that these schools have all the safety resources and making sure that learners, when they come inside the school premises, are safe and well-equipped in making sure that they learn and get the amazing result that they're supposed to get.
Should the school year be scrapped until those plans are concrete and satisfy almost all role players in the education sector?
So what we've been having at this point, immediately after the minister addressed, because we are a movement that is a membership-based movement and our primary members are high school-going learners, we've been in WhatsApp group asking the fields of learners. And at this point, there are two feelings. There are learners who are saying, I don't feel safe going to school. I'm scared to go back to school and get this virus and go and take it to my family. And there are learners who are saying, at some point, I don't want my year to be wasted. Mm-hmm. I want to carry on learning. But also, I am also concerned about the safety of myself and my family and teachers at this point in time. So every college education, we are assisting with these two things where learners are saying, we are feeling scared and not feeling ready to go back to school because of what is happening. At the same time, other learners are saying, we don't want our year to be wasted. And I think we cannot run away from the fact that also one of the provinces Western Cape that is sitting with number of the coronavirus increasing rapidly at this point. Mm. But we are sitting with those two things. Then I think we want to go back to school because we don't want our year to feel wasted. But at the same time, the learners are saying we don't want to go back to school because we're scared to go back to school and get infected by this virus.
You represent Equal Education here in the Western Cape. Other provinces have far less rates of COVID-19 cases. If I look at, for example, the Northern Cape province, I think their cases are still in the teens, if I can recall. Do you think that it should be, is it equal? Is it fair that a province like the Northern Cape or other less affected provinces, they resume schooling, but for example, a province like the Western Cape or even maybe even just the Cape District, the city of Cape Town, those students aren't allowed to go to school? Do you think that would be fair on students in those communities with high rates of infections if the rest of the country continues without it?
I think it goes back to the question that we have as a college education. We had exactly that same question of saying that there are areas that are hotspots and that learners won't be able to go to school, and one of them is Cape Town. And our question has been, what is going to happen in the curriculum and the catch-up plan? Because it's not clear of, because the minister did say no learner or school will be left behind. But at this point, we're talking about the current moment where there are provinces that there is, they are a hotspot. There are provinces that the cases are down. Would that mean those learners will continue? What will happen with the rest of the learners? And homeschooling at this point, we've seen it that it doesn't work out for everyone. We have children that are coming from poor families that can't even afford that or have the resources to actually continue with the homeschooling. So the question that we also be asking is, what is the plan for those learners who are not going back to school? What is the plan for those learners who don't have access to those resources and making sure that they continue with the learning in their home? Mm.
Apologies. I see the latest statistics that have come through from the Department of Health. Northern Cape Province has 37 cases, still quite low compared to the Western Cape, which caseload is already over the 10,000 mark. I don't want to be this person to make the decision, Ntseke. I don't want to be the person who has to weigh in the economic, the education, and the health issues of the South African public. Unfortunately, these are the people that we've elected to make these decisions for us. Heck, they get paid a lot of money to do those, to make these big decisions. But you, at the same time, groups can have sympathy for the Minister of Basic Education, for the President, you know, on making these tough decisions on when, whether or not to reopen schools. Would you agree with that?
Can you repeat that question? Sorry, I didn't hear the minister.
Well, do you have sympathy for the Minister of Basic Education and the President in having to make these decisions on whether or not to reopen schools when there's still a public health crisis, you know, that we are still living through?
I think so what is happening is people have to play their role and government officials have to play their role. And we believe that education is important. But it is important to also look at the circumstances that are happening in different provinces when we do, because we've been also, when we're chatting with learners, they've been saying also our lives are more important than education at this point. And others are saying also education is important at this point. So I think it is important that when we make decision, understanding the circumstances that are happening in South Africa as a whole.
At the same time, we shouldn't underestimate how much children know and understand what happens around them. You are an organization that is a grassroots organization. You have learners, you have school-going children as part of the members of your organization. What has been the word from young people about what they understand about COVID-19 and the coronavirus, the responsibility of them to maintain social and physical distance, especially if they have older family members back at home? What are young people feeling at the moment?
I think at this point, young people are feeling there's so much anxiety and anxiety at this point for young people. Because a lot of them are saying we've been practicing social distancing, we've been practicing all the safety precaution at this point. And we believe that young people do understand the impact that the COVID-19 has. And they understand it very well at this point. And that's why they feel like it's important for them to practice these safety precautions when they are at home and even in their streets.
But can you, for example, prepare for a mock examination as a matric learner come when August, September? Do you think this is a right environment for a young person to probably do the second most important examination, you know, of the school going life?
I think that's also our main concern, that we do feel also that the pressure that is going to be in grade 12 at this point, because also they had already planned for the year going ahead. And I think it's really important that these different departments that are going to form part of making sure that learners are at school and making sure that things are happening as normal, to make sure that the psychosocial support is there for especially grade 12 learners, teachers and other learners in schools, and making sure they are prepared in terms of at this point what is going to happen in preparing for exams so that they get the support that they need going forward.
Have these interventions, of learning channels and SABC channels being used as learning aids, extra classes, online aids, studying aids, have these interventions during the lockdown helped?
I think I wouldn't say that they've helped, but that the response obviously that we've received from our members, it goes back to the issue of resources and accessibility. Some learners don't have televisions in their homes. Some don't have data to watch those different TV activities that were happening during this pandemic. So it really didn't reach a lot of learners learners who had access to this watched it and learned from it. But the majority of learners, for example, learners who are in the Eastern Cape doesn't have access to data, doesn't have access to television or radio, even didn't even benefit from it. So it didn't really reach everyone, because we know the inequality within the South African education system and the South Africa as a whole. The issue of resources and accessibility, that doesn't reach every learner at this point in South Africa because of accessibility and because of not having TV, data, and radio to actually listen to that. And even goes back to homeschooling, that maybe my mother doesn't have even an email for me to receive the learning and equipment for me to receive it to learn, because I don't have all of those access to those different resources in order for me to learn.
Ntsikelelo Dulane, she's the head of Equal Education here in the Western Cape. Thanks so much for joining us.